Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Growing up, Erin Schlotte knew she wanted to be in the Army, and today she is South Dakota's first female combat engineer. Greg Kraduski is the Veterans Resource Coordinator at Black Hills State University, where Erin is a student, and they both join us now inside the Sue W. White Studio at Black Hills State. Erin Schlotte, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
Greg Kraduski, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you for having us.
Erin, I want to start with you and talk a little bit about your journey, because it goes back to 2013 in Boston. Tell me a little bit about how you sort of first started thinking about joining the service.
It's something that I was thinking about before I went to Boston, but I got to Boston 2 days after the bombing with a choir trip, and we were on our bus and we were driving around, and there was National Guardsmen outside some of the buildings doing security, because at that point they hadn't caught the bombers yet. And I was just thinking about it, and it was like, that's, you know, I want to protect people, and that's something that I wanted to do. So that was kind of my more definitive moment of when I decided to join.
So this is the Boston Marathon bombing. Were you where are you from originally? What town were you traveling to Boston from?
At that time, I was living in Pierre, but I'm from Molsey.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about how you decided on the National Guard in South Dakota, and what that journey was like, and what kind of support you got from family and friends.
My cousin was in the unit that I was first with, and they had some recruiting events, and she wanted me to come along, because at that point I'd been kind of going back and forth between active duty and National Guard, and you know, I was talking to a lot of them, and it was more of I would be able to serve with people that I knew, and when if something happened and we had to go for the state deployment for like a natural disaster, I'd be helping my family and my neighbors. So that was something that was kind of important to me too.
So at the time that you're sort of first thinking about joining the service, I don't know that the option of becoming a combat engineer is even open to you. It's something that's opened up fairly recently. Talk about that a little bit and how you ended up in the combat engineering field.
I decided I wanted to be a combat engineer. It was June of 2015, and so we were working on our paperwork, and I had made that decision because one of the events that I was able to go do with the recruiter and whatnot was to go see the different engineer units in the 153rd Battalion, see them work with their specialties and what they do. And I got to watch the combat engineers, and that's kind of how I decided that I wanted to pursue that specific MOS. And I got all of my paperwork and everything finished, but I had to wait about a month and a half to officially enlist for the job to open.
Did people tell you that that there were barriers or obstacles, or were they working with you to sort of help pave the way?
I had a lot of support from my recruiter, Sergeant Bain, and my cousin, and other people that I knew in the Guard. And they said that, you know, there would be obstacles and stuff, but I had some pretty good support going in.
Tell people what a combat engineer does. What's your role?
A combat engineer is more, we call it counter mobility and mobility. So we want to be able to get people through an area or stop people coming in an area. So it's a lot of demolitions and building clearing, and we're also trained on how to look for IEDs.
Yeah. I want to bring Greg into the conversation as a Veterans Resource Coordinator at Black Hills State. Talk a little bit about that connection between service and education and some of the efforts at Black Hills State to, you know, make that a little easier and make that flow a little better for service members.
Well, the first thing is actually having a Veterans Resource Coordinator. It's so critical, ensuring that when somebody, a veteran or a dependent, applies through vets.gov, that when they come to us, there's somebody there, myself, to guide them through the process so that they get their benefits paid. That's a big weight off their shoulders. And then I'm able to explain to them all the service and benefits that we have here at BH, because Erin is a shining example of that, as somebody that took some of the opportunities we have here at BH, whether it be the Vets Club or joining ROTC. So, it's good to have Erin here talking about her story.
And Greg, tell me a little bit about why that's important to the college as well. I mean, it's an act of service to sort of, you know, make those connections, but it also benefits the university because of the kind of people that you're recruiting and attracting.
No doubt. In fact, our president is a veteran, and I've sat and talked with him for an hour at a time, and he just speaks highly of our veteran population. And obviously, we have a huge staff that's that are veterans themselves. And so as a population, we work to make sure that, our veterans come to the school, and then as soon as they get done, then we have a career for them waiting, which is kind of the important thing when a veteran does come here. That's what they're looking for, is ultimately that career in mind. So we as a university make sure that happens.
Erin, talk a little bit about your training for combat engineering. What did it entail so far?
Well, I did what's called the split train option with the National Guard because I joined my junior year of high school. So between my junior and senior year, I went to basic training, and then I came back and finished high school, and then I went back to Fort Leonard Wood for an additional 7.5 weeks on top of the 10 weeks that I had already done to finish the specific job training. And then since then, I was given the opportunity to be contracted into ROTC through the Minuteman Scholarship. And so since then, I have been switching units to kind of build a network and learn more skills. So I was recently with the 881st Troop Command, which is aviation and public affairs. And then now I'm back in the 153rd Battalion with the 200th Engineer Bridge Crew Company. So I've been able to get a lot of different experience through the Guard, and not necessarily just combat engineer experience, but other things that will help me become hopefully an engineer officer in the Army as I'm going through ROTC right now.
Has most of your training then, as you're one of the first females doing this job, has most of it been, you know, where you're in a minority, you know, in the training process, or is it co-ed, or explain that to us?
I have been the only female for most of my career in the teams that I've worked with. When I started with ROTC and I switched units, there were some other females, but as a combat engineer doing that training, I've been the only female.
Yeah. And what sort of challenges have you had to overcome for that? How much have they figured this out yet as far as where you're going to stay, where you're going to live, how it's going to be? Is it a constant reminder to them that that you're here and they need to figure this out, or is it pretty smooth?
You know, there's been some bumps along the way, but
so you can tell me the truth. I know.
It's been fairly smooth. Like the other soldiers and commands that I've worked with, they've been super supportive of all of this. It's just something that we have to get used to. And honestly, I just want to be a regular soldier, nothing special.
Right. So here's my unsolicited personal story, but and I was in the Marine Corps, I was often one of the only females, and the great opportunity of that is nobody knows what to do with you, and then you get to do whatever you want. And so it sort of becomes that you really are making the rules for the people who come after you, and that kind of attitude goes a long way with the people that you're serving with, as well as the people who come behind you. Do you have that sense that that there's a sense of responsibility here, that how you show up and do this job is how other women who show up are going to be judged and accepted? It's a lot of pressure.
Most definitely. Yeah, it is. Most definitely. You know, I try and put forth my best effort and do the best I can, and if it's going to take the extra work, I'm going to put that extra work in because I do realize that there is a standard that is being set, and I don't want... I want to continue to open up other opportunities for females in South Dakota.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about Black Hills State University and just what this training and this career path and this, you know, sort of focus that you have is also bringing into the classroom for you individually as a student, and then we'll talk about some of those connections with other, you know, active duty service members or veterans. But first is, what does it bring to, you know, what kind of student you are?
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with my degree. I have a double major for criminal justice and sociology justice studies, so the discipline and the focus that I've learn from the Army, and definitely the motivation some days. That is definitely helping me work through getting and earning that double major. And then I have my minor for military science, which is the ROTC program. So, you know, I'm up at anywhere from 5 to 5:30 every morning, and I go work out in the mornings with ROTC, and then I have to go do my regular classes. And then there's weekends where I have to go do ROTC stuff on top of my guard commitment. So having the discipline to get my homework done, keep caught up on everything, has definitely been a bonus that I've gotten from the Army that I can bring back into my civilian education.
Yeah, and the importance of connecting with others and sort of serving others in that way, that's important to you too, right?
Yes, yes it is.